As I get ready to deliver the word to you, something comes to mind. How many of you watch the television station KCET, public television? Anybody watch that? Raise your hand if you watch that. Probably my same NPR people. You watch, you listen to NPR on the radio. Same kind of people, public radio, public television. The reason it came to mind as I was preparing the message, if you watch KCET, for those of you who have, have you watched that episode or the program? They talk about L.A., the city of L.A., and they say things that aren't here anymore. Have you watched that? Things that aren't here anymore. That came to my mind as I was preparing the message because I love that program. Things that aren't here anymore. Things like the Helms Donut Man, the Bakery Man. Remember that? Woo, woo. We're dating ourselves, huh? You guys are too young. You don't know the Helms Bakery Man. You got to be in L.A., in the 60s and probably the early 70s, where a man came by, just like the ice cream truck man, he came by, he said, woo, woo, you could smell all the baked goods, and you could go there and buy great bread and donuts. Oh, man, you haven't had donuts. Oh, man, what about anybody you old enough to be, have to go on to the Pike? You know what the Pike is? Come on now, am I the only one? I'm the only one? Really, I'm the only one? Now, you old enough to know what the Pike is, and so are you. What, grandmommy and granddad, they didn't let you go to places like that when you were young. You don't have to live in L.A. to go to Pike. You know what? You don't have to live in Valencia to go to Magic Mountain, do you? You don't have to live in Anaheim and go to Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm. The Pike, that was a place where you went if you didn't have Disneyland money. It was an amusement park right there in Long Beach. It had all kind of stuff. It was like an amusement park and a fair at the same time. I remember one time on the roller coaster, we went up, we went down and came back up and I almost came out of the car. The only reason I didn't is because my father caught me, even though the thing was down. But the Pike is something for at least me. Is it here anymore? So that's what's funny about it. The thing is, though, after I saw that and it was so good, they had the nerve to turn around and say, hey, we got another installment that's called More Things That Aren't Here Anymore. So if you like the things that aren't here anymore, what will happen is if they could talk about the 90s, you guys would be like, yeah, I remember those things. Yep, they're going to have a things that aren't here anymore for you. Amen. So you can wax nostalgic like I guess it's just me. But at least I saw a few hands that have seen at least the things that aren't here anymore. The Pike just isn't on your list. They talked about the Brown Derby, etc., right? They talked about the red trolley cars. It talked about so many things. I actually went with my son Jason to the Peterson Museum for cars and all that, and they had an actual one of those Helms Bakery. They don't call them trucks. They call them coaches. Oh, man, that took me back. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I also had a chance to show him he had a Z at the time. And I said, you see that car right there? Nissans weren't always Nissans. He only knows Nissan as Nissan. How many of you guys been around longer than Datsun? Uh-huh. Datsun, right? Uh-huh. From Japan. You got to, if you go back, you'll find most things aren't new. He said, he was flabbergasted. He said, what? It hasn't always been Nissan. Datsuns are another thing that aren't here anymore. But the reason that came to my mind as I was preparing the message is because last week we learned three ways. Who can finish it for me? Three ways that we should be, come on, completely different. Three ways that we should be completely different from the world. And they should be able to tell. Three ways that the new man, that's a new creature with a new mind, a renewed mind, three ways that we should be completely different from the way we were as the old man. Three ways, amen? Amen. And I thought about it because today God's going to teach us even more ways that we shouldn't be that old man anymore. More ways that we should be completely different from the world. More ways that if you truly have the Lord in you and if you're in him, that you should be different. We should be able to tell the difference between you and the old man of you. And the world should be able to tell the difference when they run into Christians, because they ought to be different. And we ought to be different among one another and toward one another first. And once we do that, then we have something really to offer to the world. Then we can really maximize what we have to offer to the world. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what I was thinking about. But last week, we learned, number one, that we shouldn't lie to each other. Did you know that? We shouldn't lie to one another. In the Ten Commandments, it was talking about bearing false witness. That's getting up and testifying, right? And saying something that's not true, that turns out to be harmful for someone else. But we shouldn't lie to one another. And he's actually talking about Christians to Christians. Do we lie to one another? What does that say? We need to work on some things, huh? When was the last time you lied to a Christian? Can you go back 24 hours? Can you dare go back a week? Can we go further than that before you lied to another Christian? We also learned, that we shouldn't let our anger simmer to the point of boiling. We shouldn't let it settle. We shouldn't let it sit there too long, because then it boils over, and what happens? It leads to sin, anger, and sin not. So we shouldn't lie to each other. Isn't that something that he even had to write that? And among Christians, on fire, brand new, lying to one another and letting their anger simmer too long and letting the sun go down on it, and not solving that problem. We learn to fix the problem quickly, amen?
Amen.
And lastly, we learn to be givers. How about being givers and not takers? We have takers in the midst. We have takers in the church. We have takers, people who are willing to justify taking what somebody else worked hard to obtain. Rather, we were instructed that we ought to have an intense desire to give to those in need out of what we worked hard with our hands and with our minds in order to obtain. So we should be givers from the heart first. And then, of course, with the manifestation, we should be givers as opposed to takers. Amen?
Amen.
So these are the things that we learned. Those are the three ways that we should be completely different from those in the world, that we should be completely different from the old man as the new man. Is that too much to ask? If you've got the creator of the universe inside of you, is it too much to ask that you don't open up your mouth and lie to your brothers and sisters? Is it too much to ask that we be different from the world and that we're all going to get angry, but to not result in sin? Deal with it before it boils over. Should it be a surprise that we would be expected to actually be givers as opposed to takers? Should it be a surprise? So those are just three ways that we should be different. And if you haven't gotten all three of those bases covered, you ought to write it down and make sure you get it resolved if you really want to make a difference. We're not talking about coasting. We're talking about making a difference. We're talking about being distinguishable and allowing God to be glorified in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? But here's the thing. Even though that is a mouthful, and for it probably maybe one or two of us, there might be some things along that way. Lying, anger issues, taking rather than giving. Maybe somebody here needs to work on one of those. And after all that, yet there's more. Are you ready for more?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Our text will be found in the book of Ephesians. That was the other revelation. I said, Lord, really? We're going to pick up right where we left off? Okay. He's been doing that lately. I don't plan a series, but he's obviously planning on one. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. The same thought follows. That's an artificial demarcation between chapters 4 and 5. Amen?
Amen.
And remember, while these things that we're learning have broad application, should anybody lie to anybody? No. Should anybody let their anger boil over and dominate their lives? Of course not. Should people be takers rather than givers? You don't think so. But the most important thing, this is aimed toward you. This is aimed toward me. It is aimed toward us, that we shouldn't have that found in our lives, in our testimony, in our corporate body. We shouldn't be lying to one another. We shouldn't be taking and leaving someone injured. We shouldn't have our anger boiling over within the body of Christ. That is the point. Amen? So lying and anger getting the best of you and being a selfish taker should not be found among us. And if you struggle with any of those things or any of the things we're going to talk about today, I suggest at least that you write one of them down. We should have them all out of our lives. But at least commit to conquering one. Amen?
Amen.
We're trying to be different. I'm talking in incremental terms, but you really ought to be a new creature right now. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to learn about more things that we shouldn't have in our lives anymore, because we are new creatures, are we?
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 29. Let's read it together. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Yet another thing that shouldn't be found among us. Foul language. Anybody got that problem? Foul language. Oh, but it's justified because they did this or that and I was angry. Well, anger and what? Sin not. And obviously you let that anger boil over so that. What shouldn't you do? Well, why shouldn't you do it? Because it leads to even other things. So this is foul or degrading language. Foul or degrading language. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Yeah, there it is. There it is. And this lives on throughout all time. So it doesn't matter what country you're in, what language you speak, what time it is. You know what foul language is. The words may change, but you know what they mean. You know if they're foul. If they're foul in your context, then they're foul from the Bible. If they're foul during your time in your community, you know they're foul, then they're foul from the Bible. If they use specific words, you can say, well, that ain't my language. But he didn't. He said foul language. Foul and degrading language. You know when you're being foul. You know when you're being degrading. Shouldn't be found among us, because these things happen within the church. There are churches where right after church, just before church, folks are smoking on the side of the building and cursing and thinking it's cute. It's because they don't really teach from the Bible. They teach at it. They teach around it. They don't say what the Bible was really trying to say. So that shouldn't be found among us. There's more things that should not be here anymore. Amen?
Amen?
More things. Verse 30, this one will be familiar to you. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I talk about this for those of you who have studied the book of Ephesians. If you chose to use the Bible studies on the internet, we covered this. This is not meant to be plucked out as if it's one thing all by itself. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you do that? People make stuff up. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? You didn't have to make it up to those who were listening or reading this letter, because he knew it was the same topic. All this stuff, all this dirty stuff, all this nasty stuff, all this stuff that you shouldn't be doing, that shouldn't be found among us, these things, if they're found among you or in your life, they grieve the Holy Spirit. They vex the very Holy Spirit. They make sad the Holy Spirit. The representation of God here inside of us and among us can be grieved, can be vexed if your behavior is such as what we're learning about.
Amen.
So this is supposed to be the body of Christ, right? So if we're doing all this stuff, lying to each other, getting all angry, going off on each other, using foul language, being takers, do you think the Holy Spirit would be vexed by that? Do you think the Holy Spirit would be grieved by that? So he says this parenthetically. I'm talking about the same thing, but let me let you know that all of this mess, if it's found among you, it grieves. So it's not some separate thing. I'm talking about all this stuff. It's just sort of like that by stripes we are healed stuff. All this spiritual stuff, and then suddenly you're not supposed to ever be sick. Suddenly, out of the blue, we're talking about the solution to the eternal problem since this place was created. The one major problem we can't solve. And we're talking about keeping this dirty old body alive? Really? That would be the worst thing you could ever do. That's a trick that hit me from the hell, from the pit of hell. Why would you want to stay alive forever in a fallen state? Come on now. God knew from the very beginning, don't let them eat from that tree of life. I don't want them to live forever in this fallen state. That is Satan. But it sounds good. And it gets you eyeballs on the TV. And it gets people to write in and give you money. Because their flesh wants to maintain itself. It doesn't want to die. It's not really looking for a home with a foundation not made by man. Not really. Woo! There's some good stuff, man. So grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It's a thing that you're sealed by. Why would you grieve him? Mm-mm-mm. Amen? So now you know what that verse means. No excuses, right? Verse 31. Read it for me.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Uh-oh. Do we have any of that going on? Mm-hmm. More things that shouldn't be here anymore. More things. Man, we got all kind of stuff already. Isn't it enough? There's more? Man, we can't be lying? Really? I can't be a taker? I'm good at it. Man, I can't be angry? What if it's justified? Based on what? Based on who? Anger and what? Sin not. So bitterness, huh? We shouldn't have bitterness. Some of us have bitterness, but we shouldn't have bitterness. Bitterness leads to harshness, is what the Bible is getting at. Or, this is very important, note both, bitterness leads to harshness or passive aggressiveness. See, what the passive aggressive person does is they wag the finger at the bitter, harsh person. Ha-ha! Uh-huh. So, their stuff don't look so mean because it's done on the sly. So they get to wag their finger at the harsh folks who make their stuff more obvious, more plain, more overt, more visible. The harsh one lets it show. The passive aggressive one is doing just as much dirt. But they get to wag their finger. Mm-hmm. The Bible says they're both wrong. Amen? Oh, but I'm justified. See, I'm bitter, but I don't want to appear bitter. So I'll do my little stuff on the slide, and then I'll get to point the finger to the harsh one who shows they're upset. Ha ha! But I'm a goody two shoes. Because I do myself in a way that gets them going, and then they show that, look, see? And you wrong as two left shoes. Passive aggressive, all coming from what? Bitterness that comes from stuff that you let pile up, that you did not solve in the first place. More things that should not be in here anymore. Amen?
Amen.
What about wrath and anger? These are outbursts of rage. Hello, I think I'm healed mostly. People who are close to me would say I'm better than I used to be. Am I better than I used to be? Somebody say amen and make me feel...
Amen.
All right. Better than I used to be. Woo, man. I'll reach all the way back. Woo, to the gangsters who I should have done in. The folks who did me wrong. all the way back. Woo! And let it all out. Now, it's about what you did, but there's more on it. Because I got some stuff. Woo! You don't want to be in the way. That's not okay. Don't go. She said, "Ooh, no, you." Woo, man. You don't want none of that. Wrong as two left shoes. Shouldn't be found among us. Shouldn't be found among people you're supposed to be glued to. Shouldn't be found. Shouldn't be happening. It's wrong, right? So you should say it, admit it, confess it, let God forgive you for it, but then you need to fix it. More things that shouldn't be found among us. Amen? Have we gotten to you yet? If we haven't, we probably will, because there's more on it. Some people might be doubling down and tripling down and writing a lot of stuff down they got to work on. How about clamoring? Clamoring, this is yelling and screaming when you're quarreling, when you're in disagreement, yelling and screaming. Well, I never put my hands on nobody. But you're clamoring. Shouldn't be found. I didn't curse. I didn't put my hands on nobody. But you're clamoring. Shouldn't be found among us. Why did it happen? Because you let the sun go down on your anger. Because you held on to that thing. You know why? Because you didn't confront the person for two reasons. One, you didn't want to admit you had a weakness. You didn't want to admit you could be affected. You didn't want to admit your feelings could be hurt. And you thought that they were so scandalous, even though they're in the church, because scandalous folks will never admit that they're wrong. The sky could be blue. They'll insist on it being purple. Now, what you going to do? What you going to do? You obviously don't read the same book. You're obviously not connected to the same God, so you can't speak the same language. So you hold it in and don't even bring it up. We're unequally yoked. So you're trying to do right, but you're dealing with somebody that don't want to do right, so you hold it in. These are all things that just tear us asunder, which is why Paul had to write about it to the Ephesians while he's over in Corinth. Amen? So we shouldn't be what? Yelling and screaming. Even though you didn't curse. Even though you didn't lay hands on nobody. Right? Shouldn't be the yelling and the screaming because the source of it is wrong. Shouldn't be doing it. Well, I'm justified. Well, I had to let it out. Better out than in. Should have dealt with it. You should have dealt with it. Amen?
Amen.
How about evil speaking? Is that found among us? Oh, Lord Jesus. Woo! These are words that are meant to harm, listen to me now, or defame someone else. To lower the view of someone else through your words, to tell folks stuff so that they don't view that person so well anymore. Evil speaking. It's slanderous for my lawyer over here. Slanderous speaking. Now, not libel, because libel is a slightly different thing, but it has the same effect. Just two different mediums. Am I right?
That's right.
Amen. Slanderous speaking. Just like libelous writing. Same thing. Shouldn't be found among us. But is it? Girl, you're right. You are so right. Scandalous, slanderous. Shouldn't be found among us. Intended to hurt. You know what you're doing. You're not innocent. We're not innocent when we do it. We know what we're doing. Is it in the Bible? Yes. Is it part of the things, the more things that shouldn't be here anymore? God chooses to infuse all this truth into us so we can walk away empowered to be better. Amen?
Amen.
Bitterness, rage and anger and clamoring. Didn't even know about that one. So the next time you, Get all revved up. Evil speaking. And he talks finally at the end, he says, with all malice. This is an evil or bad disposition or an evil or bad intention. So before you even say the word, before you ever do the thing, it starts from a place of malice. You had evil intentions. You had bad intentions. When you open your mouth, you had bad intentions. You had bad intentions. None of these things should be found among us. I shouldn't have malice in my mind and heart in regards to you, because that's what leads to the things that I can say and do that are wrong. Whether it's in a loud voice or not, whether I use bad words that I shouldn't be using or not. It's all the stuff that destroys us from within, which makes us not very effective without. Now, we can have the form of godliness, but with our actions and our words, we can deny the very power thereof and even vex the very Holy Spirit. So Satan don't have to work too hard. Amen? Amen? Leave us to our own devices. We'll mess it up on our own. We're talking about Christian folks, right? Amen. Amen. We've probably got a few things that shouldn't be here anymore. Amen, amen, amen. And we should get rid of all these things. But again, my challenge to you is to at least choose one to get rid of immediately, to work on immediately. At least choose one, unless you're perfect, to get rid of immediately. And here's the one I want you to choose, the one you don't want to work on. The one that, you know, that your go-to. That's my go-to, man. That's who I am. That's how people know how I roll. That's what keeps them at a distance. That's what keeps them not bringing no mess at me, because they know what they're going to get. No, your go-to, your crutch. That's the one I want you to work on. You know what it is. You know what it is. Yeah, that's how I can bob and weave. I just lie and keep them chasing that lie while I go over here. I'm passive aggressive. That's why I'm one of the good guys. Yeah, right. I'm one of the good ones. I'm not like him or her. Look at him or her. So you're not paid attention to. You're just as wrong as two left shoes. Shouldn't be doing it. My anger is justified. I'm just blessed. I'm not a taker. How come it's always one way? I don't want to give what I worked hard. God said, look, we talked about stealing last week. That's what the text was talking about. But really what it was saying is, rather than take what somebody else has worked hard for, what you ought to do is work till your hands are bleeding. And the very thing you worked that hard for, you should want to give to those who need. That changes your heart. That means you have a completely different mindset. That what I worked hard for, someone else could benefit from. It's just the opposite of, I ought to benefit from what you worked hard for. That's the opposite of a stealer. It's the mind frame. It's the place that you come from that's so different. And we should be completely different than the world, right? Yeah. The new you should be completely different from the old you. And what if that were true? People would be like, wow, those Christian dudes are weird. They're different. They are really different. Why are you so different? What makes you do that? How can you pull that off? You knew that made you look bad, but you admitted it. You admitted that truth. That made you could have made you look weak. You know, you might not get that promotion if you say that. Well, I'm telling the truth. Amen?
Amen.
We should be viewed as different. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because our minds are renewed, right?
Amen.
Amen. So now, if you think it's hard to get rid of these things that we shouldn't be doing, those things that shouldn't be here anymore, well, now let's see how easy or hard it is to do the things that we actually ought to be doing. There are sins of commission, and there are sins of what? Omission. Stuff you should be doing that you don't want to do. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 32. And be ye, read it for me. Uh-huh. Oh, man, so you mean I've got to treat Carmen like that? Mm-hmm. Carmen has to treat me like that? Oh, man, I've got to treat Deacon like that? I've got to treat Melvin Lee and Dad Lee like that? Mm-hmm. I've got to, but I can't do all them other things. I can't run, I can't lie, and I can't be a take, I can't, but I've got to instead be tenderhearted. What? Meaning I've got to be compassionate. I've got to be merciful. Compassionate, meaning I've got to feel their pain when they're going through something. And compassion makes you actually, whether you do or not, makes you want to do something about it. It makes you want to fix it. It makes you want to make it all better. Sometimes you do the person harm if you fix the problem. But it makes you want to. It makes you listen with a caring ear. Merciful. Man, you know, you weren't quite right about that. But you know what? I'm going to let that slide. You should be locked up and the key thrown away. But you know what? I'm going to let that slide. This is how we're supposed to be. Is that easy? Huh? Now, it says we should be forgiving. Is that true? Should we be forgiving? We should forgive one another, right? Guess what? That's not what the Bible was talking about. Uh-oh, there I go again. There he goes again. Breaking it down so that we can know the whole truth. Now, forgiving, we all agree, is the right thing to do, right? Okay. So here's the thing. If you look up forgiveness, the word that's used here is never the word that's used. This word could be stretched. You could use it for forgiveness, but it's usually not the word that's used for forgiveness, and that's not what is meant here. Should you forgive one another? Yes. Why? Because Christ is God's forgiven you, right? Amen. Okay, so you should, but that's not what it's talking about. So what is it talking about? What should we be doing in addition to forgiving one another? So what's intended here is to show favor. Listen to the distinction now. To show favor and to give freely. So I'm going to view you in a way that I'm going to show you favor. That's how we're connected like that. I'm going to show you favor. You get favor when it comes to me. I'm going to be positively predisposed toward you. And I want to freely give. Does that mean I just empty my pockets and just give to you? That makes you a taker, right? No, but it's how do I relate to you? Does it feel like I'm freely giving, or does it feel like I'm constantly holding back? Whatever it is. Freely giving, and I'm, you'll see what I mean in a second. I'm not sure everybody's gotten it. But it's not, this isn't forgiveness. You should. But what he's talking about is all these things. He says, be kind to one another, meaning do good things for one another. And tenderhearted, meaning compassionate and merciful. Showing favor and freely giving as God. I got to fix something else. For Christ's sake. That's not what it says. It's a very simple word. In. That's all it was. The translators chose to do this for Christ's sake. Now look. So the forgiving is not correct. And the for Christ's sake is not correct. That word is simply in. God in Christ. God through Christ showed favor and gave freely to us. You should show favor and give freely the same way that God through Christ showed favor and gave freely to you. Nothing having to do with forgiveness and for Christ's sake? No. This is the stuff that we do. We religiize the translation. It sounds good, doesn't it? And yet if you read it, it probably doesn't make complete sense. Doesn't make complete sense, but what he really was trying to say made complete sense. So after all these other things, tenderhearted, I should be kind, I should be merciful, I should be compassionate. Can you imagine if we were all falling all over ourselves to be merciful and compassionate to each other? Freely giving. Anybody I'd go to, I would know they want to freely give to me. Does that enhance my life? Does that make my mountains or my mountains in my life maybe molehills? Because I know I got a bunch of people that's got my back. Freely giving. I know that when I walk up to you, you're thinking your heart is positive toward me. You want the best for me. You wouldn't want to hurt me. How can I operate now? If I have a bad week, when I come among those people, I get re-energized. I get happy. I want to praise God. Amen. I can face the front and not worry about my back. This is what's supposed to be. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So he's not talking about forgiveness. He's saying we should be positively predisposed to one another. We should be freely giving to one another as God in Christ freely gave. Does it make sense to you now? That's some good word, man. Good, good word. And now we go to chapter 5, verse 1, which there is no transition. Forget about the chapters. He's still just talking. Somebody decided, I don't know why. Let's change chapters here. I have no clue why. So he goes on after he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We know what that means. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has given you. Forgiven you. Be ye therefore. What does that mean? Be ye therefore. What does it mean? For God's glory. That's right. Be ye therefore. So because of everything I just said, this is what should happen. This should happen because of what I just said. So be ye therefore. What does it say? All right. That's a short verse, isn't it? And yet it's huge. Who studied the book of Ephesians? Okay. I don't know. You might have driven right past this one. Even if you studied using the Bible studies on the net, because God goes even deeper now. Amen?
Amen?
So after everything I just said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Let's break this thing down and we'll get the truth. We're going to get a message. You should walk out of here fully empowered. You should be ready to rock and roll. Amen? So unfortunately, I've had to point out to you that the previous word that was translated, the Greek word that was translated into forgiveness was not forgiveness. I've had to tell you that for Christ's sake was never, it's not in the Greek, it's nowhere. The word is just simply in. God in Christ flowed in favor of us, amen? Freely giving himself, right? So now, therefore, I want you to be followers of God as dear children. Now that sounds good, right? What does that make it sound like you should do? Okay, so because of all those things, I should follow God, right? All right. Now that sounds good, but when you translate it properly, it actually also makes perfect sense. And you get what he was really trying to say. Because of course we should follow God, right? But what does it mean as dear children? Do you know what that means? Does it make any sense? Well, okay, I should just do what he says, right? Dear children, I should obey. Is that what a dear child does? Is that what you did when you were a dear child? You did. Those Catholic nuns didn't make you do it, right?
We didn't have nuns.
You didn't have nuns? It was Catholic, right? Yeah. With no nuns. That's interesting. More things that aren't here anymore. Woo, I didn't know. I got some more on it. I need to get some help from the audience. There's more things than I knew. Amen, amen, amen. So let's break it down. So be ye therefore followers, okay? That word in the Greek, now there's many words I could have broken down, but this one I am going to break down, is mimetes. That's a noun. That's a follower. mimetes. You're going to get something here in just a minute. Now, the verb form of that is mimetai. That is to be an imitator of. Because mimetes doesn't mean a follower. It means an imitator. Someone who mimics someone else. Where do you think we get the word mimic from? You know when I say the word mimic, you know what that means, right? Well, guess where it came from? Mimetes. Okay? Mimetai. So he's telling you an action word. He's saying, be an imitator of God. Not just a follower. He goes and I follow. I want you to imitate him. Can you do that now? So because of all these things, right? You should do all this stuff. And now you should freely give and you should be merciful and you should have favor toward one another because he did the same to you and freely gave. So therefore, mimic him. Mimic him. Imitate him as dear children. That word dear means beloved. So mimic God, therefore. Copy God, therefore, as dear children. As beloved children. Here's the picture. If a child is beloved, if a child is treated with love, then here's what happens. That child also feels love toward the one that's loving them. And because they have love and respect and admiration for that one that loves them, they tend to want to mimic them. They tend to want to be like them. When a child is loved, when a son is loved, you will find him or her putting on daddy's shoes and trying to walk in them. Putting on daddy's work shoes and trying to walk in them. Grabbing daddy's tools and trying to use them. And you isn't that so cute? Look at that. He's doing just, why are you doing that? This is what daddy does. The daughter, she puts on the little shoes and try to do the makeup. I want to look like mommy looks. I want to do like mommy does. When you have love and respect and admiration for anyone, you tend to want to be like them. A bunch of people want to be like Mike. Want to be like Michael Jordan because he had it like that. I don't know if you really want to mimic Michael Jordan, no. If you really know him. Amen? But that's the picture. The point is you shouldn't do all these other things. And you should do these things because God gave freely to you. So you should copy God. But there's a why in there. You should copy God as dear children. You should copy God because you respect and love and admire God. Are you listening to me? Amen. So you'll find the person doing the very things that mimic the one that they love and respect and admire. So you find them doing these things not because they have to, but because they want to. He's telling us that our behavior is a reflection of how we see God. Our behavior is a reflection of our relationship with God. So if you're supposed to be mimicking God, if you cursing and justifying it, and yelling and screaming and justifying it, lying to folks and justifying it, not being tenderhearted, not being caring, not being giving, only being a taker, you obviously don't think much of God. He's obviously a little g God in your life. You obviously don't admire him because as a beloved child, you should be trying to copy. How did he do it? That's what I want to do. That's what you should be trying to do. And even though the little child can't do things like the daddy does, it's so cute to the daddy to see him try. Let me get a video of that. Can you see that? I still have a video of my boys walking in my big shoes. That is so cute. That is so cute. Some people want to be what the mother or the father are. Most cases, it's been the father because that's the one that's gone out of the household. Oh, my father's a doctor. I want to be a doctor. My father's a lawyer. I want to be a I want to follow in his footsteps. And you know what? If you don't want to follow in your earthly father's footsteps, that's fine. But follow it in your heavenly father's footsteps. He's already shown you how to do it. And you can't be perfect like him, but you should be found trying. Amen?
Amen.
It's a reflection of how we view God. You should be glad we stopped there. Well, let's do this last verse. Sorry about that. I don't want to make you wish. Verse number 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, like Pastor Trina said earlier. So now does it all make sense? Yeah. So I should be trying to mimic God, and so you should be doing the same. And if I'm worth my salt, then I should be an example as I stand before you, right, and call myself trying to lead, right? So even if I'm imperfect, you ought to conclude, he never stops trying. Never stops trying. Yeah, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. We have people who preach a certain way. Folks copy them. I see people copying preachers all over the place. It's imitation is one of the greatest forms of what? Flattery. I think highly of you, so I want to do it like you. Happens all the time. So that's the end of our text, and like I said, somebody might be glad we didn't keep going because he talks about fornication next. I hope that's no big deal to us, but there might be at least one of us that will say, "Woo! I'm glad he stopped there. I hope it's not a series for past this." Woo! Because maybe I'll get rid of my anger, but I don't want to let go of my boo and the things that me and my boo do. But the Bible, just for your next week, let me lay this on you. The Bible does say, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. So even though the text ended there, you don't get to end there. You get to go your next week knowing that fornication ain't right. Amen?
Amen.
So let us be like our Father. Let's copy God, the big G God. And therefore, we can be a better reflection of him among one another. And if we can pull that off, now we got something. So now we can really fully manifest his glory out in the world. Amen?
Amen.
And to God be the glory.